Hey, Dad, what do you think about Grisham Lodge for dinner tonight? They have this restaurant where you can sit behind a waterfall.
Wow, that's a cool location. That could come in handy for my next book. Trip battles piranha behind a waterfall of toxic sludge. What? Honey, I'm a writer. I'm always on the prowl for new material. Trip demands it.
You act like Trip is real, Dad.
He is real to me. He has to be.
Forget it.
Tell you what. Why don't you pack? I pick out a contest winner. We jump in the car. We're on the road by noon.
You mean it?
I mean it.
He did not mean
it. He did not mean it.
Hey, Val.
Hey, Al.
Welcome to D Commentaries.
Thank you. Welcome to you and welcome to our listeners. Today, we're talking about Dad Napped.
We sure as shit are. Explicit. Explicit
we're
within the
explicit
first two
right out of the gate.
Seconds.
This movie fucking sucks.
Yeah!
Spoiler.
Man.
You don't need to listen to the rest of this episode.
No, but you have to, actually. Sorry.
But you actually have to.
Man, I was so excited looking at this stacked cast.
I know, me too.
And so disappointed.
I know. It's funny too, because George Newbern has been in two of the biggest duds out of the DCOMs that we've watched. And he's not a bad actor.
No.
It's so bizarre, his choices, or I guess it's not entirely his fault. That's what he got cast in. But still.
Who's his agent? Who's his
manager? Don't know, but he needs to fire
them. Get this man more better opportunity.
All right, let's get to the business. Let's do this.
Okay.
Dad Napped was unfortunately released on February 16th, 2009.
You're so sad.
It was the first release in 2009. I feel like they dumped it in February because they knew it was garbage. Like they rarely did releases in like January, February, mm-hmm. I feel like. So the fact that they did tells you everything you need to know about this movie.
Yeah.
It also was directed by Paul Hoehn, who also directed the movie we just talked about, Cheetah Girls, One World.
Oh, and we liked that one.
Yeah.
I mean, we liked it more than some of these movies.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's kind of, for me at least, like hit or miss, right?
Because
he directed Luck of the Irish, which I know you hate, but I like. Mm-hmm. He directed True Confessions, which I think is like a good movie. It's not really a DCOM per se. Yeah. I mean, it is a DCOM, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He did You Wish, which I did not like. Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off, which I did like. Read It and Weep, which I did not like.
So it's just like a little switch for you, Val.
Yeah. Camp Rock 2, which we haven't watched yet. How to Build a Better Boy, which we have not watched yet. And Zombies 1 through 3, which we have not watched yet.
I do have a couple. When watching this movie, I was like, oh, I have so many thoughts about what Val's going to say. Like, I already know what Val's going to say. One of them being, I knew it was Paul Hoehn because I had watched the
credits
in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I just wrote, the thing flying around the room and cutting open the watermelon has to be Val's worst nightmare.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Literally. Almost in the first scene, maybe, there was like a literal like bad sound effect. Like,
yeah,
like Three Stooges. I was like, oh, no. I think I wrote it down. Oh, yeah. I said, oh, no, the sound effects.
Called it.
Oh, God. Yeah. What's interesting is this was written by Alan Silberberg, who has not written any other DCOMs. He did write episodes of Double Dare, which kind of makes sense for this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Mickey Mouse Club, like the newer one.
Oh,
with
Hot Dog.
All our pals. Doug, which is one of my favorite shows.
We love Doug.
Something called Student Bodies and something called Chop Chop Ninja, neither of which I'd ever heard of. But so he has this sort of Nickelodeon Disney resume.
Yeah.
But he worked mostly in live or animated stuff. So it's interesting that he wrote for this. Also, it feels like it was written by Dan Berenson.
Yeah.
Like it has that same feel to it, but it wasn't. So it's kind of interesting. But like the Double Dare thing makes perfect sense for this movie.
Once you said that, I was like, oh, the end makes sense now.
Right. Exactly. We'll talk more about that when we get there. The cast is as follows. basically, it's the cast of Hannah Montana. Emily Osment played Melissa Morris. Mm-hmm. She is best known for Hannah Montana. She also does like some voice acting. And of course, she's a singer. So she has music videos and stuff. She was in Kick Buttowski, which I've never heard of. Cleaners, Young and Hungry. The Comiskey Method, which I had heard of. Michael Douglas was in that. She's done voices on Family Guy. And she was most recently is in Young Sheldon.
Oh, yeah. She is in Young Sheldon. I saw her on my television. Also, I heard Young and Hungry wasn't a terrible show.
I have no idea what that is.
It was on ABC Family.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I like Emily Osment a lot. I with all of these cast members, I don't really think any of them did a bad job. I think that it's just a bad movie.
The premise of this movie and the writing of this. I said this like as in my notes at some point, but I was like the utter irony of the fact that this entire movie is about writing.
Yeah.
And writing well. And it is the most poorly written.
Yeah.
Like I was really struggling to find like any quotes that I liked. Like it just fell so flat, and it felt very like it was trying to be other movies or like making jokes that I've heard a million times. Like it was just very unoriginal to me.
Yeah.
So I thought it was very ironic that this whole thing is about writing.
Yeah.
So anyway, but like you're absolutely right. Like I think that Emily did a great job.
Yeah.
Like she's sort of kind of the straight man in this. Mm-hmm. Like she's sort of expected to kind
which
of
she's
be
not
just serious.
In Hannah Montana.
Right. And she does fine. Like she does fine, but she's just not given that much to do in this movie, right? She's just sort of reacting to other people.
Yeah.
Also, have you seen that documentary, Quiet on Set?
Yes, not the final episode, but I've seen 1 through 4.
Okay. Did the book gag make you think of that at all?
The book gag.
Where she gets hit in the face with the green stuff?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. No. But now that you say it, like, yeah.
Yeah. Cause like knowing that this guy worked at both Nickelodeon and Disney, I don't know. I would like, it just, it was interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I would never have thought about it if I hadn't seen that documentary, but like this was kind of around the same time that all of that was going down at Nickelodeon. So it's interesting. I mean, maybe a little bit afterwards, but like,
yeah,
I've said before that I think this era of DCOM is like trying really hard to be Nickelodeon.
Mm.
And so like, it's interesting that they did this gag that became very famous on Nickelodeon.
Yeah. So, interesting.
Just interesting. Yeah. Anyway, David Henry played Wheeze, the head weirdo. And he was on That's So Raven, Wizards of Waverly Place. And what I recognized him from was he was the son in How I Met Your Mother.
Mm-hmm.
So like they filmed him and the other girl for one day and then they used that footage
forever
for literally like 7 seasons of that show. Oh, which is so funny. I feel like he's like a he like looks like other guys around his same age who were famous at the same time, but just like not quite as cute.
Oh, I think he's so cute.
Oh, I did not find him attractive.
I think he's so cute.
He looks like
Val goes,
like a villain to me. Like he has some nefarious plot it's going funny. On.
Well, I'm now we're though like in the time of where like I watched all these people. I watched Hannah Montana. I watched Wizards of Waverly Place. I watched The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. Like I remember watching this shit.
Sure.
We're explicit.
I watched Hannah Montana to some degree as well, actually. I was a little old for it, but I liked it.
Yeah.
Speaking of Hannah Montana, Jason Earls played Merv Kilbo. He played Hannah Montana's older brother in Hannah Montana.
Jackson.
And he was also in something called Kickin' It, which I'd never heard of. And he's been on High School Musical, the musical, the series. He played kind of a grown-up version of his character from Hannah Montana.
Yeah, basically.
He's a physical comedian.
He was like, older, though, when he was cast as an older brother. Like, I remember him being in his, like, late 20s when he was cast as, like, a
19-year-old.
It was,
like, a thing. Yeah, it was a thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so he's basically playing, like, a 35-year-old sort of evil version of his character on Hannah Montana. But, like, same kind of physical comedy and stuff. Jonathan Keltz played Trip Zoom.
Who I don't recognize at all.
He is Canadian.
That's why I am not.
Right. He was on some episodes of Entourage. He was on an episode of Murdoch Mysteries. He was on a show I watched called Cardinal, which was sort of like a crime drama, you know, because I'm a sucker
about
for those.
Popes.
No. Nope. The detective's name is Cardinal.
Oh.
So
it'd be funny if there was a detective drama about the Pope.
Well, there is a British show that is called, I forgot what it's called. It's no, but it's literally a priest like solving crimes. It's very silly. There's actually two of them. There's one called Father Brown, and then there's another one where like a younger guy who's like a priest or a pastor or whatever solves crimes. Anyway,
that's funny.
I know. And then he's been in like Hallmark-y movies, because of course he has. Like, you look at him, you're like, yep, he's a Hallmark guy.
Yeah.
He was fine. He didn't really have that much to do in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Moises Arias played Andre, the little brother. He was also on Hannah Montana.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Pitch Perfect 3. More recently, he was in 5 Feet Apart, King of Staten Island. And most recently, he was in the show Fallout that just came out.
Oh, cool. Good for him. Mm-hmm. I know he's really good friends with the Smith children, Jaden and Willow.
Oh.
I think he's friends with Jaden Smith.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I watched the movie 5 Feet Apart. It was not terrible.
Yeah, it looked fine from the trailers. Yeah. I just never saw it. He was fine in this. Again, he wasn't given that much to do.
Yeah.
And he also had the weirdest hair I've ever seen.
Yeah, interesting.
He had like John and Kate plus 8 Kates.
Yes.
Hairdo.
Uh-huh. That's funny.
The like suburban mom circa 2008. Then we had Denzel Whitaker playing Sheldon.
Mm-hmm.
He was on All That. Connection to Quiet on Set. And he's a character actor. He's been in lots of stuff. And he looked kind of familiar to me.
Like, yeah.
I've definitely seen him in stuff.
I also wish they gave him more to do in this movie, too.
Agreed. He was just playing kind of a dummy and it was boring.
Yeah.
Like it was
like
the same
I really wanted him to have more. When you first see him, you're like, oh, he's going to be important. And then you like get him just kind of trailing along. And it's like, no, I wanted to see more of him.
Yeah. Like, I think what they could have done with him is kind of what they did with the guy from Holes in Xenon, where he's kind of like the guy in the chair, you know, like he's the guy who's like good at tech or something like that. Like he could have added to it instead of always being like the butt of every joke because he didn't know what the hell was going on.
Right.
Like, that's just so boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get better tropes.
Seriously. Charles Halford played Skunk, who there were like two villains. I don't even know. There were like three layers of plots and villains in this movie.
And it also, and yeah.
He was in Luck of the Irish.
Oh.
I think he probably played one of the lackeys of the bad guy. Because I didn't like specifically remember him. He was on the show Constantine. He was in the movie Logan Lucky, and he was more recently in that show Outer Banks.
Oh, I watched that.
Yeah. Again, he was not a bad actor, but his character was stupid.
Yeah, all of them.
George Newbern played Neil Morris, the dad. We saw him in Buffalo Dreams. He's also been in lots of stuff. He was in Adventures in Babysitting, It Takes Two, Father of the Bride, all of the Father of the Brides. Bull, Providence, Justice League, and Scandal most recently.
Wow. So
he's had probably the biggest career out of everybody.
Also, he and Emily Osment were both on a Friends episode.
Oh, fun.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Kind of cool. Not the same one, but they were on there.
Joey Mishima was back as the sheriff.
Yeah.
A sort of blink and you miss it kind of part. But he was also in Double Teamed, Right on Track, High School Musical 2 and 3, I believe. And he also, like, other than DCOMs, he was in Karate Kid 2. And he's just a character actor.
Yeah,
he's
I like him a lot.
Tons of stuff. Yeah, he's great. He plays this, like, again, he's not given much to do, but he actually, like, makes good on it, on what he is given. Like, he does a good job with it. Okay, cool. That's the cast.
It is not. Synopsis. You missed one person. You missed Phil Lewis. Mr. Mosby from Suite Life.
Oh, wait, what? Did I delete it or did I just miss it?
Wow.
Oh, I did just miss it completely. Okay, sorry. You're right. Okay. Phil Lewis played Maurice LaGarche. Mm-hmm. What a name. Mo for short. And he was like the other half of the pair with Skunk. Mm-hmm. He was in Heather's, City Slickers, something called Teach, which I'd never heard of, The Wayans Brothers Show, I Spy, and then, of course, Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
It was really cool seeing him be a, like, he was our capital A actor, I feel like, in this, like,
yes,
film. Like, yeah. He was the one who was like, I am taking this so seriously. And it was really cool.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of, I've heard this before. Maybe you've heard this too, but like the Muppet Christmas Carol is like yes. the best Christmas Carol because, what's his name?
Michael Caine.
Michael Caine is acting his ass off yeah. in that movie. He is not acting like he's in a movie with Muppets.
Right.
He's acting like he is in like a fucking Shakespearean play.
Yep.
And this is kind of the same thing. Like Phil Lewis was like, I don't care if this is trash. I'm going to do everything I can to make this Oscar worthy.
Yeah.
And he did what he could. And yes, he's is so the good. Best thing in this.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for including him, Val.
Yes, of course. I'm sorry. I forgot. Thank you for that quick catch. The synopsis is as follows. Melissa has a bad case of sibling rivalry. She's actually jealous of a teenage spy in the bestseller written by her dad. And when she's kidnapped by a group of fanatical fans, it's up to her to emulate her rival's superhero skills to rescue him. So obviously there was a typo because it's not her that's kidnapped.
Yeah.
It's her dad. That's the whole point.
Point dad-napped. Of the title.
I get the sibling rivalry thing. That is fair. That makes sense. They even kind of show that literally in like she picks up a family photo and
yeah.
like he appears in the family photo for a second. Yeah, it's fine. Okay. Fun fact. Ooh, this might actually explain part of why it sucks. It was put on hold because of the writer's strike.
Oh, I did know that. I did look that up too. Yes, that's definitely why. Because everything struggled.
Yeah. It also might explain why it was released in February too.
Yeah. They're like, we got to get this out.
Yeah. And another interesting fact, Sabrina Bryan, aka Doe from Cheetah Girls, was originally meant to play Melissa, which I feel like would have been a very different Melissa.
Wow. Yeah. I feel like no offense to her, but she would have been too old.
Yeah. And also I think that like, you know, she, granted, I've really only seen her play Doe, but like, I just feel like she, like the whole thing with Melissa, she's kind of like precocious, mm-hmm. bookish. Almost mousy. Like she's obviously cute, but like,
yeah.
you know, not in like a sort of hot sense. And I feel like Doe gives off more of like I'm a hot girl. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just don't know that would have, I mean, it would have just been a different movie. Would have been a different yeah. movie.
Interesting.
Not better or worse, just a different one. Mm-hmm. Okay. That is the business done.
Done.
Al, what were your first impressions of this movie?
Thanks, Val.
Oof.
I'm gonna give it like a 3.5.
Yikes.
Which makes me so sad, but I could not stay interested. I started playing games on my phone. Mm-hmm. If I'm playing games on my phone, something's wrong. Okay, everyone, if you see me playing games on my phone, hey, you got games on your phone? Check in on me. Mm-hmm. And this was one of those times. Specifically, the game is 2048. Yeah, I feel like we kind of talked about our first impressions, really. It was uh-huh. it was just not well written. Some of the choices just were, like, too big.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it was made better, if I would like it. Does that make sense? Like, I don't even yeah. know if they like wrote it differently that I would like it. Like, I don't know that I liked the plot.
Sure.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy to be here. Val, first impressions.
Thanks, Al. So I actually am in the opposite camp, not in the sense that I liked this because I didn't, but in the sense that I liked the idea, but I think it was executed really poorly. Mm. So I think like the idea of a girl who is having a challenged time maintaining a relationship with her dad because he is too obsessed with his career as an author and, you know, his fans and all that stuff, like that in and of itself is an interesting story. Right. Then they put a hat on a hat on a hat on a hat on a hat and made it all slimed and gross. It definitely got so
confusing.
It was just silly. Like, I was literally like, what is the, it was so convoluted at the end, even when they explained it explicitly what was going on. I was still like, this makes no sense. Like, this is so stupid. So, yes, I think that if they'd stayed more true to that, like, basically, they could have stripped off the extra second and third layer of, like, villains or whatever. Yeah. And they could have just left it at, like, the first layer, which we'll talk more about in Spoiler City.
Mm-hmm. I think I would have liked that better.
Yeah, it would have been more straightforward. They could have had more fun with it. Like, it felt like, you know, it, what's interesting is a lot of criticisms of recent Marvel movies is that they are written to a like big scene that has already been like conceptualized ahead of the script being written. Mm. So they have to like write around that scene to like make it make sense. Right. And it felt like this movie wanted to have this big, crazy moment at the end of this movie. And they wrote the whole movie around it to like make, to justify this thing that happens at the end. And it wasn't necessary. None of it was necessary. And it could have just been a more straight down the barrel movie, which I say about a lot of these in this kind of middle era. I just feel like they get too silly. Like, what I love about the original DCOMs is like they might have had silly premises, but they were always playing them seriously. And yeah. They were not like winking at the camera. They were just like, this is what's happening. I'm taking this seriously. And that's what I loved about those movies, because they treated us, the watcher, the kid, like we're not an idiot.
Yeah.
Like we don't need a bunch of like boop, 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 boop to stay interested. Right. And I just feel like these ones don't do that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Al, did you have any favorite quotes or moments?
Yeah. I actually did have a couple quotes.
Okay, good.
My name? Skunk. I worship at your feet, Neil. No need. This was my favorite moment. Lady and gentlemen. And then he pushes the pizza off the table and puts down like a tray of just cheese cubes and tiny sausages with toothpicks in them spread across this huge tray.
And some of them had corn cob like things in them instead of toothpicks. So silly.
I'm not writing this book for you. I think you will, Big Daddy.
Out of context, these lines are funnier than they are in context.
My parents never understood why I love these books, and all I gotta say is, reading rocks! God. Take that corn cob and stab it in my eyeball. Val? Any favorite quotes or moments?
Yeah, a couple. Also, I just saw a note where I wrote, who the hell are these two adult guys?
Yeah, literally.
At some point, someone said, I don't remember the context at all. Someone said, well, the system is stupid, which I just think is a great general quote that is true. Yeah. Another one. Do you even know what a colander is? Ugh, a line I hated.
Let's hear it.
Is Andre, Melissa is like getting in Wheeze's face, and Andre's little brother goes, feisty, I like it.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, bleh.
You're like six.
Yeah, it's just, he was like, his character was so weird.
Yeah.
No, Dad. Peter Pan is a fictional character. Trip Zoom is a pain in my butt.
Yep, that was good.
Dostoevsky wrote some really good stuff in The Slammer. And then my favorite moment is not really a moment, but it's the fact that for literally no reason whatsoever, they play a game called Word Wham.
Yes.
That is literally just Upwords.
Yes.
But they probably weren't allowed to call it Upwords. Correct. And for those who maybe don't know what Upwords is, because I have no idea if it's still like a thing that people play, mm-hmm. it's Scrabble, but also you can put letters on top of each other, yes. as well as like across. So yeah, I don't know why that's a part of the plot. It's dumb. And I don't get it, but it's just Upwords with a different name.
Yes. Dumb.
Dumb. Okay. I'm good if we want to take our tops off and go through the car wash and head to Spoiler
City.
And then
20 minutes later have perfect hair after going through a car wash with the top off.
I wrote that too. But somehow, what's his face, had his entire suit torn off of his body.
Mm-hmm. Well, that has happened to me, Val, so.
Sure.
Here in Spoiler City. Where our tops are off. Okay. Now, typically, as you all know, because all of you listen to this all the time, I take a lot of notes when I don't like a movie for some reason, because I feel like I need to put in a lot of information. And for not really liking this movie, I didn't take a million notes. So that, I'd say, is a good thing. So if I forget something, it's because it wasn't important.
Okay.
All right. Lights up on a room in a house with a girl singing her songs. It's Emily Osment. And then she's looking at her family picture of her mom, her dad. And then she glances away and then glances back. And then like a guy pops in the picture. And we're like, huh, that's weird. Like ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gone. And then that's the first scene. And you know what that means, Val? No narrator. That's why we get 3.5. then... we're at Upper Valley High School. I don't know why I wrote that down, but I did. I think because I maybe thought that this would take place at the high school, but it doesn't. Okay.
It does not.
So then they're in class and apparently it's like about to be summer break and they're doing book reports and
in the cafeteria.
In the cafeteria. Weird. Upper Valley High School, more like weird. Then Zimmer gets chosen. I went to high school with a Jacob Zimmer, so hope you're well, Jacob. So Jacob Zimmer gets called up. He's doing his report on Neil Morris's book, and Emily Osment rolls her eyes. She's like, wah. And we can only assume, because it's her dad, Neil Morris, the new book. And they're like, how did you get it? How did you get this book? It's not out until tomorrow. He's like, oh, my dad works at a publishing with the pages. And so I got to read it for early. And then at the end, they're like, and it's Melissa's dad. And then she's like Debbie Ryan tucking her hair behind her ear. Like annoyed. Then for some reason, which this like never comes back, it takes us to a story within the book.
Yeah,
like we jump. Well,
it's because he's doing the book report.
Yeah, it's just like we never have that happen ever again. It was just such a weird choice. And so it's the book is about Agent Trip Zoom, and the scene ends with Trip rules.
It's kind of like if Mission Impossible was about teenagers.
Okay, and for like, those of us who haven't seen Mission Impossible, which is definitely. Not me.
Mission Impossible is kind of like the 007 of America.
And for those of us who haven't seen 007,
but you know the vibe of James Bond,
yeah,
right?
Like he's sort of
like a campy like crime
spy.
Solver spy
wears a suit.
Who gets into and then out of crazy situations. So it's like if that person was American and a teenager.
Mm. Okay. So then she starts talking to Trip Zoom.
Yeah. Very read it and weep.
Yeah.
Style.
And then his mouth starts moving and talks back to her, which I hated. Then we come back home and we find out that mom and dad are divorced and she's spending her vacation time with dad. Who is the author of the Trip mm-hmm. Zoom books series. And mom doesn't trust it, hence the divorce.
Yeah, there's some very exposition-y, like, your dad's a flake.
Yeah. But they're supposed to go camping. And he brings a cutout of Trip. So it's just the two of them. And then there's just this Trip cutout in between them, a la like Crossroads driving through. Or another movie I haven't seen, which is the Gina Davis and Susan Sarandon.
Oh, I actually haven't seen that either. Thelma and Louise.
Oh, we should watch that.
We should.
Have you
seen? Wow, a very special episode of Have You Seen, where neither of us have seen it.
Wow. Okay, so then it turns into, instead of like them going camping, it turns into them going to the Radiator Springs of Utah to go to the Zoom convention. And it is in the town of Mercury. Is it not exactly Radiator Springs?
That is so true. It's so funny.
It is.
No, you're absolutely right. It's so funny. You're right.
I love Cars. Shout out to Cars.
Oh, Cars is so underrated.
Oh!
The rest of the Cars movies,
no.
But the first one, great.
Well, and the problem with Cars 2, we're getting into it because we love this movie, so we can take pauses. The problem with Cars 2 is that they rushed a sequel. Mm. They rushed a sequel because the first one was such a big hit that they're like, we got to get a second one out. Mm-hmm. Look at something like Frozen 2. Frozen 2 is good because they waited a long time for it to come out. But like Cars 2 came out in like 2006 or 2007, like very short after. Or I don't want to lie, actually.
It's also, it's not even just about the speed with which they did it, but the reason that they did it, well, right? Like if you're making a sequel because you haven't a story to tell with those same characters, great. If you're manufacturing a story because you want to make money, that's never going to turn out as well.
Yeah. Okay. So Cars 1 came out in 2006. Cars 2 came out in 2011. So it was 4 years, but that's how long it takes to like make an animated film.
Right. Yeah. Pixar movie especially.
But I think that they rushed it. And if they had waited a longer time, they would have had a better storyline. The storyline in Cars 2 is just bad.
Yeah. It's so stupid.
It's just bad. And then Cars 3, they couldn't come back from Cars 2. I've seen it one time. It's not a terrible movie, but
no, it's fine.
You can't come back.
Right.
Yeah. And Cars 2 was like, Cars is just so endearing and
I know.
Lovely. And
it's also a perfectly well, like, self-contained movie. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't necessarily need a sequel, right? Like,
no.
It's just a nice story, standalone story.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, back to this lovely
thing. Then they're at the Trip Zoom convention, which is at the hotel in town. And we meet Jason Earls, who is Merv, who is like runs the hotel. Mm-hmm. And then there's like people being creepy who are Moises, Arias, and Denzel. Mm-hmm. And then we see David Henry, whose name is Wheeze. And he wants to win the contest. So we're like, don't know what the contest is yet. But he's like, no, we're winning the contest. This is happening. Mm-hmm. So all of the fans are obsessed with Neil. And that brings us to Mr. Mosby, whose name is in the movie Mo. Kind of funny. Yeah. And the contest, we now find out, is that who knows the most about Trip Zoom gets a chance to be in the next book and read the book before publishing. So they're having this contest over the day, the week, the month, the year. I'll be there for you. Okay. So... Then Emily Osment is outside and her and David Henry have a moment about Word Wham, which is upwards, which is what I wrote, which is about what Val talks about. And then him and Moises Arias are related. And then Denzel turns on an onion machine, which sprays onion smell into the hotel and they have to evacuate the hotel.
Apparently it was a contraption that was from one of the books because they were trying to prove that they knew the most.
Yeah. And that's like, their intentions throughout this movie is that they do a lot of the stuff from the book. So they're like, no, it's cool because this is what you wrote type of thing. So then the goons, the kid goons, steal Neil. And then the old goons were trying to steal Neil. So we have young goons and old goons. Silly goons.
So many goons.
And then Neil is in the truck of the young goons and they said, dirty sweat sock, you wrote it, we do it. So to Val's point of, we're gonna do what's in the book, and he has to agree to one demand and they'll let him go. And now Emily Osment knows what's happening and she has to save him, And Jason Earls is like, hey, I'll help you out. So he drives her over to where the goons are, and the goons are at the car wash. And then the goons send the car through the wash without the convertible top on. And Emily and Jason are trying to stop it, but instead they go straight through.
Because who pulls into the actual entrance at a car wash?
Yeah, who parks right in front of it? You're blocking other people from going through.
Right.
You would have gotten kicked out.
Yeah.
Dumb. Okay, so then she knows where the goons are going. This is so dumb. Oh, my God. I'm talking slow because it's dumb. So David Henry got out of the car when they were at the car wash, and she found a book that fell out. And she, like, looked at the book, and the book was overdue. So in her head, she's like, oh, my gosh, the books are overdue. They're going to be at the library. And then I kind of stopped paying attention while they were in the library.
So at some point, Neil, the dad, kind of appreciates the dedication of these guys. So he's like happy to kind of play along with their little, you know, outing. And when they go to the library, he like shows them how to rig up this thing where, like, when you open a book, it like splooges stuff all over your face, which is the thing I was referencing that kind of reminded me.
Oh, that's why I forgot, because I like saw that at the very end when I was playing my game.
Yeah. So basically what happens is he also sees that the books that they have are about to expire, or not expire, but are due back at the library. And he urges them to return them because otherwise they're going to get fined. And perhaps this is sort of meant to show like that they actually think quite alike, he and his daughter. Either way, they all end up at the library, and Melissa is the one who unfortunately opens the book and gets splooged in her face. And then dad's like, don't be such a fuddy-duddy. We're just having fun. And she's like, we're supposed to be having fun, you idiot. And then he's like, well, okay, we'll go back and we'll fix this. So they do, or they're about to. And then they get outside, and what happens?
And then Skunk and Mr. Mosby wear cop stuff. And they try to capture them and arrest them. And they're like, are you real cops? And they're like, yeah, we're real cops. And then they capture them. They're stolen. And they take them to a creepy spot.
In like a motel, an abandoned motel.
Yeah. And it, like, they go inside and it's filled with trip zoom stuff.
Yeah. Like, so they like live creepy in the lobby, or like the main building of this motel.
And they're brothers.
And they've sort of... It made me think of, you've never seen Big, right?
Oh, long time ago.
Okay. So there's like, you know, Big is like a child who is in an adult's body, right? And he at one point moves into like a big loft apartment.
Oh, yeah.
And he like tricks it out to be like a kid's dream, right? Even though it's obviously an adult's apartment. And it kind of made me think of that. Like, it's just, it's as if children furnished this house.
Yeah.
And basically they appear to be ex-cons, or at least Mo is.
Yeah.
And so they like kind of live off the grid. It's not super clear. Like, maybe they were foster siblings. Like, they don't totally explain everything, but they are brothers. And one of them, like, Mo doesn't want his little brother Skunk to have the same life that he had or whatever. So he's like, that's his motivation, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, keep going.
And I wrote, I still don't know why they've been kidnapped. Okay. So then the kid goons figure out that they've been captured, and they go try to rescue them. And I wrote, literally, what am I watching? And we find out finally that Mr. Mosby and Skunk stole the dad because they want him to edit Skunk's book that he wrote. And they won't let him go until they edit the book. And he's like, this is going to take months. Like, I write a book for a year. And they're like, well, okay, you better get comfortable then. And then this is where the dad and daughter conversation they have heart to heart. And they talk about, she's like, you don't even know me. And he's like, no, you're my life. And then she's like, but trip comes first.
Also, I know this doesn't matter, but at one point, the reason why Melissa's even there is because she, at one point, handcuffs herself to her dad. Mm-hmm. So they like have to take her. Then they make an editing error, a continuity error, where at one point when they first get to the hotel, they are no longer cuffed together. They are each handcuffed behind mm-hmm. their backs. Then like 2 seconds later, they are back being handcuffed together. Yeah. But anyway, that's not even what I was going to say. What I was going to say is there are so many moments where they could have escaped.
Yeah.
Like, there is this, when this conversation happens, they are just by themselves. The two guys are outside watching a movie out on the front porch or whatever. So like
the back.
There's nothing about this movie makes any fucking sense at all.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Keep going.
So they cry. And then the kid goons fake being the police, and then they scram. And then everyone scrams. The kid goons scram. The old goons put the people in the car, and then they are scramming. And then they're off-roading, and Skunk is throwing clothes at the kid goons in their van to, like, distract them and drive
them. Because they're in, like, a dry cleaning van or whatever.
Oh, I see. I didn't know.
That's where they got the cop clothes from.
Mm, that makes sense for someone who paid attention to this movie. And then Emily is like, oh, how can I get them to like stop? She's like, I have to pee. Hello, I have to pee. And they're like, you hold it. And she's like, you really want me to do that? And they're like, no. So they stop and go get gas and they go pee. And then the little young goons, they get stuck in the mud. So they're stuck in the middle of nowhere. So the old goons escape. And then she goes into the bathroom and Skunk's standing outside and she's like, I can't piss when you're standing by the door, Skunk. Go away. And so he's like, oh, yeah, okay. And she rips out a page from the Trip Zoom book and circles the word presidential instead of writing anything down. You have a writing utensil and you're just going to circle like right on the mirror. And then the goon boys, the young boy goons come back in. They're like, she was in the bathroom. We know she was here. She like left little clues and they're like, presidential, what does this mean? And it's because they were staying in the presidential suite.
So she was telling them to go back to the hotel.
Yeah. So then Merv Hotel Man, who is Jason Earls, was working with Skunk and Mr. Mosby. Spoiler alert. And so then when they go back to the hotel, because she's like, can we just go back and we'll just work there? And they're like, okay. And then they don't get taken to the presidential suite. They get taken to a different room. And then they have to like work together until they get the book done. And then the pizza guy drives the young goons back to the hotel. And then now it's morning time. So no one was sleeping. I think dad slept. But these young goons, I guess if you're young, you can stay awake. Then the young goons collect all of the Comic-Con people to get everyone together and help find Neil. And then they bring back the song from the beginning for a montage where they're like getting slime all like set up and like water balloons of slime and like sprayers of slime. And
this felt, I wrote at one point, this is knockoff Hook.
Yeah, but
like it was like a bad version of Hook.
Yeah. And then dad and daughter have another heart to heart and she goes, I'm in your books, you're the reason I write. Then Jason Earls was the bad guy all along. He doesn't care about the book. He wanted his last manuscript so he could basically like take advantage of Neil and get the money and be like,
he wanted to have Neil write a manuscript. And then my understanding is he was going to then kill Neil so that it was his last ever manuscript.
Yeah.
And then he was going to like sell it for a bajillion dollars. That was what he wanted. All because he wanted to make his hotel nice.
Dumb.
So he was going to commit murder.
Yeah.
Because he wanted a nice hotel.
People commit murder for worse things, I think.
That is absolutely true. That is absolutely true. But I was shocked that they even implied that in a decom.
Mm-hmm. Then they lock up Emily Osment, and then they sit him back down to write. So they put him in like two different rooms. She's in the bathroom. Because then there was like a window and she was able to contact the goons. And then they attacked the hotel with goop. And then Jason Earls tries to sneak out. Denzel finds them and the Comic-Con people attack. And then all the young goons are picked as the winners. So he chooses all three of them. And then they're leaving. They're like, bye, goodbye. And they're all like, you sure you can't stay another day? And he looks at his daughter and he's like, no. He's finally choosing to spend time with his daughter. And then something we didn't mention throughout the whole time, which I know Val hates this choice, is David Henry and Emily Osment flirting throughout the entire thing. And then at the very end,
being, I don't care about that. I really don't.
You mention it every time where you're like, we didn't need that.
Yeah, but of all the things we didn't need in this movie, that was not a big priority for me. There were so many other things I would have cut before that.
Yeah. So movie. Then they're going to go out on a date.
Yes.
And that's the movie.
That is the movie. And also, there is a song during the battle that is sung by Emily Osment.
Mm-hmm. And I think the opening song, too. Also, although I think it's the same song.
I think it's the same song. Hero in Me.
Yeah. Cool. Well, shall we binjo?
Let's binjo.
Binjo.
I'll start.
Okay.
One hit wonder song. I don't think Emily Osment was a one hit wonder, no? Was
I she? Don't know any of her songs.
All right. Well, we can count.
We haven't marked it in a while.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Thanks, Emily. Breaking the fourth wall and looking into the camera.
No.
No.
It's kind of close with her talking to Trip, but it's not the same thing. Holiday themed. Not unless you count Comic-Cons.
No. Sad. Clunky metaphor.
I mean, Trip Zoom.
Trip Zoom.
Is a clunky metaphor.
He's the clunkiest of metaphors.
Mm-hmm. Parents who just don't get it. So, yes.
Yes.
So much yes.
Sad. Cool non-parent adult. Skunk.
No, Skunk.
Is he cool?
The misunderstood villain.
Honestly, Skunk is kind of cool.
I kind of like Skunk by the end. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Someone too famous for a TV movie. No.
Mm-mm. Competition to resolve central problem. There is a competition.
And but does it resolve the central problem?
But it is the reason for all of this happening. And so.
Fine.
Yes.
If we can get a bingo out of this, at least it will have been worth it.
We won't.
A montage sequence.
Yes. Yes.
Preparing for battle, among other things. Yes.
Two sets of cliche villains.
Clothes or items you owned. Actually, yes. So in the van with the baby goons, they have a compass on their dashboard, like stuck to their dashboard, kind of like where you would put a GPS.
Mm-hmm.
For Gen Z, we used to have separate GPSs, and before that we had compasses so that we knew what direction we were going. I had a compass just like that on my dashboard because I have no sense of direction whatsoever.
That's really cool, Val.
Mm-hmm.
I had none, but I do have a 6-foot cutout of Shrek.
Basically the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same. It's a trip zoom. It's cut out. Rotten Tomatoes, 40 to 60.
Okay, I'm going to give this what I think it deserves. I'm sure it's higher, but I'm going to give it a 27.
45.
At least we get the square.
At least it was under 50.
Happily ever after. Yeah.
Yeah.
They actually go on their trip. And Zoom. She gets a date.
Zoom. Almost kissing.
No.
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 Sad.
Someone who became famous.
Like all of them.
Yeah.
David Henry.
Moderately.
David. Wizards of Waverly Place is getting a reboot.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to be in it?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Cool. I think it's the two of them, the parents. I don't think that Jake D. Austin is coming back, the younger brother.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Betraying of one's real friends or values.
I don't think she does.
Uh-uh.
Your childhood crush.
Yeah, I had a crush on David Henry.
There you go.
I still do.
Hmm. I don't get it.
Okay.
Obviously bad special effects or stunts. Yes.
Yep.
There's so much.
Like the whole movie.
Yeah, it's just. Disney Channel star. Yes.
Yeah.
a number of them.
Yeah, a lot of them. Phil Lewis. Musical number.
No.
No, but they do have a stage.
Magic. Unless you count her hallucinating trip Zoom. No.
No. Someone says the title of the movie.
No.
Oh.
Scooby-Doo. Yes.
Yeah.
This is a very Scooby-Doo heavy movie.
Yes.
They're even in a van.
The heroes create the problem.
No.
No.
Dad creates the problem.
Dad.
Lead is a fish out of water. Kind of, yeah. Like,
yeah.
She doesn't fit in at the Comic-Con thing at all.
Uh-oh. We both just yawned because we got zero bingos.
No.
We got a bunch of squares, but they just didn't line up properly.
Man, oh man.
We really needed this movie to be holiday themed. Or have a musical, which I say about every movie.
If that final battle had been a musical number, that would have been fun.
It would have been 4.5. All right. Hey, Val. Welcome to an actual segment of Hot Dad, Cool Dad.
Hot Dad, Cool Dad.
I'm going to give you 5 movie dads. And you get to tell me if you think they're hot dad or cool dad.
Got it.
Or okay. Hot cool dad.
Okay.
Or none.
Okay.
Okay.
Got it.
Number one, hot dad, cool dad, Arthur Weasley.
Cool dad.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I don't know when he's donning those robes.
No.
Val said it's a no from me, dog. Number two.
Allie's laughing a lot. What is happening right now?
Marlin from Finding Nemo.
Hot.
Yeah.
Not cool.
Hi, Dad. You say hot?
Yeah, hot, yeah. But not cool.
Yeah, for sure.
You know who is hot and cool? Crush.
That's so true. Okay. Number three.
Yes.
Rocky Balboa.
Cool dad. Mm. I don't find him attractive.
I think sometimes he is, and other times I'm like, not today.
No, not for me. Adrian.
Adrian. Oh, I'm a rock. Okay. Number four, Darth Vader.
Oh, okay. So my follow-up question is also a spoiler. Which version of Darth
you choose.
Vader? Like, well, I find Hayden Christensen attractive.
Okay.
So, hot dad.
Okay.
Definitely not cool dad until the very, very, very end of the trilogy, original trilogy.
Okay.
But I guess at one point he was hot and at one point he was cool.
Mm.
Just not at the same time.
Okay. And that's on character growth.
That's right.
Okay.
But you know who is hot and cool? Obi-Wan Kenobi.
All right. I think you're going to like this last one.
Mm.
Number five, Nick Parker from The Parent Trap.
Oh, hot dad, cool dad.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hot dad, cool dad. Okay. But my argument for kind of character arc, is he cool dad the whole time? Because
I think
his choice of dating a 26-year-old woman...
is gross.
Is yes. Not so cool.
But also, like, not to sound like a asshole, but like,
asshole.
She's dating him. I mean, she's dating him for the wrong reasons, obviously. Mm-hmm. But like, if, like, I don't know if I would find a 26-year-old attractive even now.
Mm-hmm.
But like, if I did and they were interested in me, I don't, and they were hot and
Michael, Michael, get down here. Michael.
Trust me, I'm not going anywhere, especially right now. But I, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I think that he was definitely oblivious. Like, mm-hmm. He didn't understand that she was not dating him for the right reasons.
Yeah.
But I think that, like, if you thought that someone was well-intentioned and a nice person, I don't know. I see where he was coming from. And also, he is a cool dad.
He's
like,
cool dad.
He is a cool dad to her.
Cool dad, hot guy.
There you go.
Cool. Well, Val, thanks for playing Hot Dad, Cool Dad, our first installment.
Thank you. That was fun.
Yeah. That's it. So bye, Val.
Some exciting new folks are going to be added to our live show's cast.
Yeah.
So if you, even if you've come to see the show already and you're in Chicago, please come see it again because you'll get to see some fresh faces. It'll be a fun time for you.
Fun times for all.
Also, we are still on social media. You may have noticed that we have not done TikTok in a while. That is my fault.
I decided to have a baby, so.
But I am hoping that I will be able to get more stuff on there soon.
Yeah, get some of my dancing on there.
Some of your dancing?
Yeah, when I like stand up and I'm like, it looks like this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, get my Disney knees in there.
I need to find your Disney knees to put in
there. The people are yearning
for Al's Disney knees. And I promise I will do my best to get them on there soon.
Wow.
Yes, so please keep up with us.
Please.
We are going to do better. And we'll be back.
Yeah,
we'll
be back, tell us.
Yeah, with Hatching Pete, with Al's favorite.
Jason Dolly.
So we'll see you there.
Okay.
In a couple weeks. Oh, one last thing. We are now available on YouTube.
Oh, that is true.
Yes.
So what does that mean, Val?
Yes. So our episodes push out automatically to the Trident Network YouTube channel. They have a playlist that is our podcast. So if you are a YouTube user and you prefer to listen to us that way, you are more than welcome to go and listen to us there.
Nice.
Yeah. And follow the Trident Network so that you never miss an episode of this or anything else.
Whoa.
Wow.
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 Wow. All right. Well, Val, have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. Bye, Val.
Bye, Al. This podcast was produced by me.
And me.
And it was edited by me.
The music was composed by Michael McNally.
You can find us online at thetridentnetwork.com/decommentaries-pod.
And you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at decommentaries.
Decommentaries is a part of the Trident Network. To learn more about our videos, live shows, and other podcasts, please visit thetridentnetwork.com.
Disney Channel Original Movies.
Damn it, Allie.